Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where have you guys been?
Right here, Mike. Where have you been?
I think Mike's on the playoff committee.
Still?
I think so.
How old is old Riley these days?
He's got to be in his mid to late 70s, right?
Yeah. 78?
Let's look and see what old
Mike Riley's Googling.
Up to. He's 72. He's younger than I.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why do we think he was so... Why do we have him so old?
I don't know. Well,
not that old.
He kind of has had that look for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that Keith Richards thing going on, but he'll look great when we see him at 80. We're like, oh, Mike, you haven't changed at all. It's because he looked 75 when he was 55. I love Mike Riley, though.
Yeah. Riley, 72. He's younger than Pete Carroll, who is the youngest old guy of all time.
He's out there chomping on his gum.
That chomp is something else.
That dude, I think he looks like he's getting younger.
Doing that Benjamin Button
he's
thing.
He's almost 75.
I know.
Belichick's that old.
Yeah. But Belichick looks like an old crusty bastard.
He does.
If Pete dyed his hair, you would have no idea. Like, obviously, the gray, but yeah, he looks great.
He could pull off 60 in a heartbeat.
Yes. Pete Carroll should run for office. He's got, like, that old politician.
Oh,
like,
he could make that work.
Yeah. He would 100% work on that.
So we were talking about the Civil War.
Yes.
It is Civil War week. And there's a lot of apathy around this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of my point. Because what we were talking about going into break is, you know, how Oregon State fans feel about it, how Oregon fans feel about it. Oregon fan, Buckley, was saying, whatever. It's just another big win.
Yeah.
Or a win.
By margin.
Yeah, large margin win. Mm-hmm. Well, and that got me to thinking, and this is why I think the Oregon State rivalry, Oregon-Oregon State rivalry should go away, because there is apathy around it. That's why you put it on ice. And what I kept thinking about was the Washington-Oregon rivalry. Would there ever be apathy around the Washington-Oregon game?
Hmm.
I don't think there would. That rivalry, as painful as it is to say, and Joey has said this,
yeah,
the Washington rivalry is nastier,
yeah,
than the Oregon State rivalry for Oregon.
And the Oregon, and that was lopsided not long ago. There was a 12-game win streak for Oregon,
right,
in this century.
And that one is a better rivalry game. Now, they're in the same conference, so they're going to play.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it. But I'm just saying, if the weird college football world flipped the script and Washington was in the Big 12 or something,
sure,
I just think there would be a lot of fervor on both sides to keep playing that game. The fact that there is not a lot of fervor on both sides to keep playing this game, I think, tells you all you need to know.
Hmm.
And that's how I view it.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it or not, I think you're coming up with
why do you say believe it or not? As
thought,
if I
like provoking, like,
as if I can't have good thoughts.
I don't know what to make of this.
Are you shocked that I have you? We've been together 20 years.
It's the first,
you're like, oh my God,
it's the first time for
you
everything.
You made a good point.
I don't like this. I want some outrageous hot takes out of you. But yeah, I like.
I'm too dumb. I don't even think about things like that.
There would be way more fervor if you tried to do away with
it. And that's it. So Oregon State, just because they're in the same state, it's just not there anymore.
Yeah.
Washington, Oregon will never go away.
Yeah.
It just won't.
I'd be interested to know, had Oregon broken away and Washington not have gotten the invite, like what, because, you know, originally UCLA wasn't supposed to be on the table. It was going to be Oregon and USC. And, you know, then, you know, UCLA kind of got roped into that and Oregon and Washington came together. But that would have been something.
It probably would have gotten more heated.
Yeah, because Washington would have ended up in the Big 12. They would have ended up with a landing spot.
Or what if Washington got to the Big 10 and Oregon didn't?
Oh, God. Yeah, that would have. Yeah, I just The fan hatred would have been there, but would the schools have decided to get together and keep doing that?
Well, if the fans want it.
If the fans want it, I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I think you got to do it.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't know if Oregon State, like, because Oregon State doesn't have that. Washington has Oregon and vice versa. Washington State and Oregon State don't.
Don't have what?
That, like, so for Oregon State, the end all to be all is beating Oregon. For Washington State, the end all to be all is beating Washington. And we know that for the Huskies and for the Ducks, it has become more of them. That, like, Washington State and Oregon State are kind of the jilted lovers. So while Washington and Oregon have kind of moved on, there's not, like, if you're Oregon State and it's not Oregon, who's your rival? It's like in the new Big
Washington State, in the new Big 12,
they're going to try to make it Washington State. But is there any heat behind Oregon's? They're playing twice this year, and no one gives a damn about either one of those games.
In fact, people are mad that they're playing.
Yes,
twice.
Are they? Why?
Yeah,
because we're already playing them once. Why would you do it again? Yeah.
Like, this is... Well, they're the only two in the league.
Exactly.
Who else are you going to play? Bye. So,
it's just such a weird. We're in such a weird.
It is
space.
Weird.
When it comes to all this,
and nobody is in a weirder space than Oregon State and Washington State.
No,
I mean they are so unique.
Yeah,
and that's another reason why you don't play the rival.
And I hear Sprague always is talking about this, how college football is broken, and really that is only a narrative that you hear in the upper left. No one else in the country said, like, the numbers are through the roof. ESPN is having their biggest ratings that they've ever had. And I know that the Corso game day, that was the largest game day. The first 2 weeks of the season were the highest rated opening weekends in ESPN's history. Last year, the playoff did enormous numbers. I think remember when Michigan played Alabama in that game? I think it was in the Rose Bowl. That was the highest. Like, I mean, they're doing record numbers. So, Oregon State and Washington State are really the only two schools that really got the knife in the back. Yeah, Cal and Stanford kind of got left behind, but they ended up with a landing spot in the ACC, and they're not thrilled about that, but, ultimately they found a way to move forward. The only two schools that are left kind of yelling and screaming that everything is broken is Washington State and Oregon State.
Well, yeah.
It is unique to them.
College football being broken.
Yeah.
Is somebody saying that is code for my team can't keep up in this new landscape and I'm pissed about it.
Yeah.
Okay. The reality then is that college football has always been broken because there have always been teams unable to keep up. Mm-hmm. It's just shifted to which teams.
Yeah.
And that absolutely sucks what has happened to the Beavers and Cougars. It sucks. I thought they would somehow find a way to land maybe in the Big 12 or the ACC. It didn't happen.
No.
And that, if I am full of piss and vinegar as an Oregon State fan, I totally get why. You should be. You got hosed. But college football isn't broken if that's your narrative. Because that's always been the case. It has always been the haves and have-nots since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
I don't know why we continue to avoid that fact.
Yeah.
It's just changed into who, like, I was thinking about this today driving in. Kansas, I'm a Kansas fan, and I was sitting there thinking about David Booth, who's the booster that gave them $300
million. Yeah.
$300 million.
It's a nice chunk.
Tell me that 10 years ago, you say, Rob, there's a booster that's going to step up. Okay, you guys are going to hand you guys $300 million. You're going to have a new stadium.
Yeah.
I would have said, there is no chance of that happening.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Okay, so SMU, all of a sudden, I mean, of course, they have a unique history because of everything that happened with Eric Dickerson and all that stuff and the death penalty. But SMU decided, listen, we got to step up and help our football program. Texas Tech is another one. Mm-hmm. And what I think is interesting about the schools, those three and the others that are committing, I think Tulane maybe in this category a little bit, where they really are hitting the pavement and drumming up support for their program because they have no other choice.
BYU.
BYU's done it. Yeah, that's a good one. What I think is interesting about all those schools is they are schools that faced, I don't want to say dire straits, but they were schools that really couldn't win a championship. They just couldn't. They weren't. They did not have the support.
Yeah.
And now they do.
Yeah.
So how did they do that? And again, this is not to make, it's not to say that Oregon State could have done that. But nobody thought Kansas could do it.
Yeah.
And they somehow have.
Yeah.
Nobody thought Texas Tech's also ran.
It took
all of a sudden.
It took one ex-player who turned into a billionaire.
Right. So I guess that raises a whole nother question that only Beaver fan can answer because they're on the inside down there. But are they not tapping into enough like other schools are that are desperate? Or are they truly in a scenario where they do not have anything to tap into?
Yeah. Is it the network? Is it just so happened that the two universities, because of where you're located, the size of the school and the alumni base and whatever, you just don't?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's just nothing there to tap. You're drilling for oil in just dry fields, and I don't know.
I've often kind of thought, I'm like, well, how does, as a Kansas fan, I'm just like, how do we do that? Yeah. Like,
well, you know, UCLA's like, UCLA's,
I think they got tired of, answer that question, they got tired of losing.
Yeah,
and they said their donors, look, it is not all about basketball here. We need you.
Yeah,
and well, that worked.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because for the longest time, any money that came into Kansas did not want to be affiliated with the football program. They wanted to be with basketball, and that was it.
And there was plenty of apathy
there for
many years. But somehow, they made it happen. I don't know. It's such a weird time. Oregon has been building this for 30 years.
Plus years.
So they're a little different. They have Nike. Yeah. It's a different, that's kind of a unique unicorn in and of itself.
Sure.
But I'm trying to think of other schools that have kind of stepped up in this new era where it's all above board and you're paying players and NIL.
Yeah, there's a handful of them that are trying. Like I said, I know BYU is one of these. Like, all of a sudden, BYU went from, like, when I went there, Utah was our little brother. Anyone that went to Utah is because they couldn't get into BYU. We didn't want them. I remember having that, like, that was a halftime speech that Norm Chow, who was basically our head coach, said, how on earth are we losing to these MFers? Every single one of them wanted to come here, and we didn't want them. You're better than they are. And then that got flipped. When Utah went into the Pac-12, we became their little brother, and they beat our ass like 10 or 11 straight years. And we were an afterthought. And I kind of thought that's the way it was. I'm like, we're an independent. We're going to be in the crappy Mountain West, and Utah's in the Pac-12, and we will never be on par with them again. And then the Big 12 lifeline came, and then all of a sudden you could pay. And the Mormon church, there's a lot of rich donors. And all of a sudden, BYU is spending $7 million to get the number one basketball recruit in the country.
And they care.
And we care. And all of a sudden, there's an element there.
So who are the people that care? At Oregon State.
And therein lies the question, is it there or is it just an empty, is it really an empty valley and there just, there isn't?
Is a lot of money. We've talked a million times about the NVIDIA guy.
Yeah.
The Panda Express gal, woman.
Yeah.
She's
how do you find a way to get them to care?
I don't know.
Can weird. You?
Maybe.
Well,
you know.
I thought about this because I brought up the UCLA, but you were in the middle of something. But like the UCLA thing is interesting because, like, UCLA is one of the finest institutions in America. They're in, is LA the second or the first largest city? Is it New York?
I think
LA?
It's two.
It's two?
I think it's New York.
I think it's two behind New York.
I wasn't certain if it was one or two. So it's the second largest media market in the country. One of the finest public institutions in America. Obviously, like, who doesn't want to go and be a part of that lifestyle in Southern California? And yet, UCLA is in just as horrid shape as anyone. Their only saving grace is they got a lifeline to the Big Ten, right? Had they not been UCLA, had they not been in Los Angeles, UCLA could have been left out in the cold the way that Oregon State and Washington State. So, I mean, the only difference right now between UCLA and those other places are maybe, you know, geography, because they don't have any fans. They don't have any support. They don't even know that gives that money. That program's in financial, just absolute disaster. But they ended up getting a lifeline because of simply geography and where they're at. but they haven't been able to tap into any sort of meaningful resources at UCLA for forever. I mean, you constantly hear about that. I don't know. Some programs, for whatever reason, just have apathy that's really hard to get anything done.
I think that sometimes it starts with the administration. It's like, you know, yeah, I was talking to a UCLA alum today who said, you know, Chip, a lot of these coaches, they can't afford to live there.
Yeah.
And UCLA, Stanford figured this out.
Yeah, they bought houses.
Yeah, they did. UCLA doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So if you're not doing that, how do you expect, and you're paying what? How much are they paying Deshaun Foster? Like $2 million?
Yeah, it's
dude,
it's
you're not going to get a great coach there.
No.
So you have to, like, you have to commit.
Yeah.
And so it starts with the, and if you don't, then your donors aren't.
Yeah.
So it starts with that. You know, I'm looking at the top 50. I have a list of the top 50 college football. It says college is 24/7 sports.
Mm.
College football's top 50 programs ranked by NIL efforts.
Yeah.
Top 50. Do you think Oregon State's in the top 50?
No.
They are.
Really?
Really?
Well, according to this, they're 47th.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you some schools that is, it says 201 million.
Sure.
When we come back,
yeah,
I will give you some schools that are around them.
Okay.
And you tell me why Oregon State, and there are reasons, I'm not saying there aren't,
okay,
but tell me why Oregon State is so much worse off than some of these other programs.
Okay. Right.
Because if it's all about money,
yeah,
is it?
Maybe it is commitment and money.
So that's next. Here's Buck.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.